What's up, buddy?
I don't actually know where to start. Hey,
Hey.
this is incredibly weird. 4 years later,
4 years later.
two podcast shows,
Yep.
we are actually recording live in person
Live, in person.
with one microphone.
Wow.
I hope this works.
Two guys, one mic.
Yeah,
And just coming off of watching half of the presidential debate, so we're feeling great.
are we feeling great?
No, it's awful.
It's bad.
I feel really nervous.
But this is fun.
Yeah. What's up, man?
I mean, this is either going to work and people are going to hear it, or it's not,
I think it's
and they're
going to work.
not.
We are testing a different technology, and Amir loves it when we explore new technology. It's his favorite thing. He
You know
likes that new
me.
setup, it's his
Every
vibe.
week, that's what I do. No, this is actually really exciting. So I happen to be back in town in Arizona,
Yep.
and we decided to record in person
Yeah.
and see how it goes.
Yeah.
And so here we are.
Nice. Well, I mean, yeah, you wanted to show me a new car and tell me about your almost new car. And so I was excited to have you.
So and I think that's going to take us into like the topic this week, but
Yeah. Before we do that,
before we do that.
your last podcast was titled Hope.
Actually, it's funny because our friend Garrett,
Don's boy Garrett.
Don's boy Garrett,
Yeah.
he shared some feedback with us of how like doom and gloom I feel about the
I haven't
future.
listened yet
To the show or
to
to?
that episode.
Oh,
So I don't know
but
how.
you were there when we recorded it.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know how gloomy you were. I don't remember you being gloomy until the very end, and then my microphone cut off, remember?
Your microphone did cut off,
Yeah.
but the power of editing, nobody would have known that if you wouldn't have said it.
Okay.
But I feel like, and I don't want to, you should go listen to the
I
episode.
will. It's in
Yeah, I
my
can send you the
it's
link if you need
no,
it.
it's in my rotation.
Okay.
It just hasn't come up yet.
Yeah.
I've been busy at
I
work.
think after watching 15 minutes of tonight's presidential debate, by the way, we're recording this on the 27th of
Yep.
June.
And we didn't finish. We made it through
We made it
8
as
to
much
10
as we could,
minutes.
which is about all we could
And
take.
we could not watch any more of that.
No, we're screwed though.
Oh, yeah, Avery, I'm so sorry. We are fucked.
We are. We are. You'll she'll understand too.
Yeah, I mean, on
I
this
don't think
one,
everybody would understand
actually,
that.
when the world ends and they find this recording, historians, of the
We
future
would be
times
like Nostradamus.
will, yeah, they'll be like, I get it. I
Yeah,
understand what happened.
we're predicting the future.
Yeah, it's gonna be bad.
Yeah,
It's a bad
it's
future.
hopefully this recording makes it through the end of the world
I don't know if it'll make it to the end of tonight. We'll see how this
though.
goes.
Okay. Well, anyway, topic wise, I think we were talking about what we want to talk about.
Yep.
And I kind of want to talk about the debates, but I think we just did.
Yep.
I don't think we need to go back into it.
No.
But I do want to talk about something that is actually not at all related to the debates. I can't draw these connections here. But I want to talk about customer service.
Okay.
Specifically, you and I have both recently been in the market for new vehicles.
That's not
Not
exactly true.
replacement, but additional vehicles.
There was some shopping.
There was some shopping. Well,
There were some different
there was
outcomes.
definitely purchasing as well. And we both purchased, and we both kind of ended up in the same place, but then I just kept
I
purchasing.
don't own anything new.
Correct. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you didn't, it's not a final purchase, but it's a
Yeah, there
purchase.
was an intent.
Money exchange hands.
Temporarily.
Have you gotten it back yet?
It's on the way.
Okay. So I want to talk about that.
Yeah. I'm probably not going to talk about mine a lot.
Good. Well, I'm going to
But
try
it's
to talk.
similar. Yeah.
So you're not going to talk about yours a lot?
Not a
Or...
lot.
Okay. That's fine. So I'll talk about mine a lot. So for our listeners, you might know where I work. I'm not going to share that. If you don't, I'm sorry. But kind of relevant, kind of not relevant. I do work for an EV manufacturer, and I have driven a Tesla for the past few years,
Yep.
and my lease is up in a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And so Tesla reached out to me, and via email and a phone call from
Oh,
the
you got
same,
both.
the both from the same person.
Wow. So their communication systems do, in fact, work.
It was on point
Okay.
initially.
Okay.
I missed the call. I responded to email, but I didn't call them back. They answered right away.
Yep.
We had a good conversation.
Okay.
Basically, they said, "Hey, if you get a new one, we can end your lease early." Whatever, do the whole pull-up thing, blah, blah, blah. I was like, cool. I really wanted to get a vehicle from my company, but The Tesla seemed like a better deal.
And you wouldn't have had your lease end early with your company.
Correct.
Not anything about your company. It's the way leases work.
Yes, yes.
So a lot of people don't know this, but during COVID, there was a pretty aggressive change to most car manufacturers where they give out these really great lease deals, but because they kind of got screwed during COVID, they've now protected themselves, and you can't sell your lease to another company.
Correct.
So like my current car, if I wanted to be done with it, I could not go, even at a loss, I couldn't go sell it somewhere else.
Right.
I could only come up with a cash payment, buy off the car for what it's worth, and then make a decision from there.
Well, and your current car, you're different in that. My current Tesla, I can't even buy it out at the end of the lease.
Right.
I have to turn it back in.
Yeah, right? Tesla was the most aggressive. They're very different. Only back to them. And so them offering that to you was a really big deal.
It was cool.
For what your goals are, because you, like me, as much as you try to be different, do not want to keep a car for a very long time and like new shiny things.
Correct.
Okay.
Absolutely. But in this situation, I was like, you know, let me look. And, you know, they just refreshed the Model 3.
Yep.
I kind of want to downsize back to a sedan. Model 3 Performance just got announced. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna get this car. And I actually did decide. We talked. I decided I was going to buy it and not lease it. Anyway, long story short, I ordered the car. And through this process, I had some more questions. I reached out via email to the same girl that had reached out to me. No response, no reply, right? So that initial communication lasted about as long as it took for me to place my order, and then it just went away. No more communication. But in my Tesla app, I saw my car pop up, my new car that I ordered. Paid $250 deposit. It was non-refundable.
Okay.
And I had a delivery date, and it was like early July to early August. It's like, great. Got a month, month and a half, whatever. I'm good with this. And then like a couple weeks in, my delivery timeline moved up to literally the end of this month. So it moved all the way up to like June 14th to June 28th.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is great. Like, I'm going to take delivery in a couple weeks. Mind you, I'm taking delivery in Arizona. I live in the Bay Area. So there's a lot of planning that has to happen. Right. Right.
There was like a lot to do to get this to make
sense. Yeah, I couldn't just like drive across the street and pick up my car.
Right.
It was more than that. But delivery timeline moved up, and I got really excited. My wife got really excited, not really, but she was supportive. And so I applied for financing because I had like a week to go. Like, I want to get this done. Let's apply for financing. So I did. I got approved. Everything was good. And like 3 days after I applied for financing, my delivery timeline got moved back out to even later now, mid-July to mid-August. So from early July to early August, mid-July to mid-August. And I was like, you know, this kind of sucks. I reached back out. In the app, messaging, because I've communicated with a couple folks through there just in questions. And just asking general questions. You know, I just applied. I don't know how long my application is good for. I don't know if it's 30 days or 60 days. I don't, you know, my concern is I don't want to have to reapply, right? Can somebody just give me an update? Like, why did my timeline get moved back out? Will my application be good for 30 or 60 days? Like, what is that number? So I know. Nobody replied back to me. Just radio silence.
Just silence.
And so 4 or 5 days went by, and during that time, in my Tesla app, I also had a pop-up for a Cybertruck. Like, hey, come and spend another $100,000 and buy a Cybertruck.
A giant, you know, turd-looking piece of crap. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and at this point, I just got really annoyed. And it's like, look, I'm buying a $50,000, $60,000 car, and you can't respond back to me. Now you're asking me to buy a $100,000 car. Like, I just felt like the service is horrible. And so, long story, but I ended up actually ordering a car through my company, canceled my Tesla order, ate the $250, lesson learned, and I'm here in Phoenix because I took delivery of my car 4 days ago. It's been amazing. Obviously, it's not my first time with the vehicle. I've worked here for a while, so I'm very familiar with it, but it's different when it's yours and you drive it every day.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited, and I think it was a great decision. I guess it goes back to that customer service, like, take care of your customers. And here we are recording a podcast. But I want to share that because, not because I want to bash on Tesla. That wasn't the purpose of this. It was more to say, like, it's like, I think sometimes companies, for whatever reason, whether they're too big or poor leadership or all the above, they lose sight of what actually matters. And, you know, I'm a big believer of spending my money with, I try to spend my money with companies that do well, and I try to stay away from the individuals, right? Like, Elon's a piece of shit, right? If I just focus on that, I shouldn't use any products that he's involved with, and I get that. But then again, like, the CEO of Chick-fil-A is a piece of shit, but I will still go to Chick-fil-A, even though I don't, but I would, right? Like, mm-hmm. So I want to be consistent in life in that. But it wasn't an Elon thing. It was just like you can't respond to a text message or like email or a phone call. And like, I'm trying to spend money with you. So it's just really disheartening to see that there's still companies these days that are that big and that profitable, but with such little respect for customers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was looking, I was trying to search my phone. I think we did a Tesla or an anti-Tesla episode.
I'm sure we did.
But it was on 21 Pod. I think it was on our old podcast, which you've pulled off the internet.
The OG.
Yeah. It's disabled, right?
It is, unfortunately. Yeah, I need to build a website and put those episodes back up.
Yeah, I feel like the back catalog needs to exist.
I just haven't done it
yet. I want to reference this so I can point out that I said a long time ago...
The true listeners will know.
This company is awful. It's not just run by an awful person. It is run by an awful person. He is an awful person.
Yes.
But their methodology is all about cost savings and... push to the financial moment. Yeah. So I have a different friend and they were looking for a car and I was telling them your story this week. And they said, well, cause they were in a lease with Tesla
mm-hmm.
and they'd like to be out of it into a more expensive one. And I said, well, I mean, if I hate that company, but if you really like that company,
yeah.
they are so incentivized to win at the end of the quarter that if you reach out to them, they will probably close your lease and let you do it.
Yeah.
The reality of it is they knew the car that you wanted wasn't going to be ready by the end of the quarter. And the moment you're not in the quarter, they don't care.
Right.
Now, you'll probably get 50 messages on July 1st because then they have to start building that quarter. What's funny about that is that you and I both work commissioned sales, which they are not commissioned.
Correct.
They're incentivized, but not
they're
commissioned.
They're bonus. Yeah, different.
And we never treated people like that.
Nope.
It was never the way... It was the way to get short-term gains, and we worked with some people that did that, but they always failed, you know, in the long run because you have to care deeply about the long-term relationship with the customer.
Yeah.
And I just truly believe Tesla could care less about their customers.
Yeah. It's sad because I think that they have good people who do care.
Well, of course.
But when your leadership doesn't, that trickles down, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, like, you can't fight the culture of a company, you know? And so, like, eventually, the culture of the company will always win out. It's just a matter of how long you're willing to stick around, right, and hope that it'll change.
Yeah.
Or you find something better. Or, in Tesla's case, you just wake up one morning and you just don't have a job because your CEO doesn't like the color orange or something.
Well, yeah. Who cares? It's funny. The reason, you know, I think I've shared before about, like, getting away. I've had three other cars.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it was Elon and a lot of it was that brand, but it was actually a different moment that was really the catalyst, which had to do with the solar. I've got their solar panels on my roof and I didn't buy enough when I bought our panels.
Okay.
So I'm in this weird pickle where I have a bill for that and it offsets my electricity, but it's actually not as much as it needs to be.
Mm.
Like I underdid it.
Yeah.
And I need to buy more and add a power wall to really... have the benefit, right? Sure. Like I need to spend more money to save money, if that makes sense. And
shopping math.
Yeah, of course. And so I reached out and said, hey, I just want to do this. You would have thought I asked them to cure cancer. I mean, it was how would we do that? Like, I don't know. I don't work in energy. Can you come add panels in, add a power wall? Like, oh, no, not for non-Tesla. I'm like, no, mine is Tesla. I got it literally the first day Tesla did solar panels when they bought Solar City.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, we don't know how to do that. I'm like, I'm trying to give you money. Like,
so how do they do it for a new customer?
I literally don't get how this company is in business.
Yeah.
And it's sad. And I don't think they will be in business for long. I was watching Pete Buttigieg today talk about like, as someone, you know, Fox News was referencing, like, Tesla's down. Isn't that proof that EVs are bad? And he's like, no, other companies are up.
Mm-hmm.
There's other companies that are doing a good job, and they're taking their lunch. And, like, up till now, the value has been they have a great network.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. I had said on the Charging podcast, I think, earlier this year, that I wondered if Elon would regret letting people use the network. Because unless he prices it right, It's going to cause pain for Tesla customers, and they attribute that to be, it's already happening.
100% of
them. And it's going to be really interesting how that unfolds. Yeah. But okay, so I want to like pause that and make a reference to a different thing.
Yeah.
Last year we did a podcast called Electric Road Trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about the journey to Idaho.
Yeah.
I think it was 870 miles, which I'm doing again, here in a minute. You've got a journey because you're going to drive from Phoenix to Northern California.
Yeah, about 700 miles, 750.
But your ridiculous new car needs, what, like a 8-minute charge or something to do this? Or
Yeah, I think it'll be longer than that. Okay. But yeah, it will be my first road trip without using Tesla stations.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm definitely nervous.
Sure.
I think I'm probably more nervous than I need to be. Because
yeah, you are.
At the end of the day, it's like it works the same way, right?
Yeah, it's fine. It's not great.
You pull
great,
up, you plug in, you hope it works. That's the only caveat.
Yeah, sure.
And then you just keep going. But you almost. I want to. You know, I've spent 15 minutes or so talking about my shopping experience.
Yeah.
You recently went through an attempt to have a shopping experience.
Yeah.
But I think, I would love for you to kind of, you know, talk as much about it as you want or not. But I think what I really want to highlight is. Again, we both had customer service, I'll say issues, not in a bad way, but issues through our journeys.
Yeah.
Yours, I think, was actually a pretty good experience from your person.
Yeah.
Maybe not an experience overall. But,
talked to her today.
Yeah.
Yeah. The short side of this is we're going to get a third car for longer range for road trips.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, my lease is coming up next year, and it was like getting it a little bit early and living with three cars for a while is, you know, my daughter's learning to drive. And so there were some reasons there. Made a decision, did the purchase. It's a new model year. The car was just coming out. But it was like I had 2 weeks to get this done, and the delivery time said 1 to 6. So I had reached out and acknowledged that if it doesn't come in time, I'm going to be out the deposit, which was my choice.
Sure.
Like, I was willing to make a bet that it was going to work.
Yeah.
Initially, it seemed like it was going to be great. They slated it for the first week. I paid for it, did all the things that was going to happen, did the insurance, all the stuff. The day before, I got a notice saying it was canceled.
Hmm.
Talked to them a couple days later. They were a little slow that first day. They were closed, and I was as annoyed as you. But then they got a hold of me and said, hey, like, you know, Mr. Braverman, we're not trying to make anything hard here. There's actually a safety reason. There's a thing we need to do for this model year, and mm-hmm. it's not ready yet. And we need another week to get that done. And we can't make it happen until you get both a software update and a physical part that isn't available to us yet. And so we thought maybe it would work out. They ultimately called me back and said it's not going to work. But different than your experience, she said, hey, I feel awful. Like, I know you were willing to make this bet, but it feels bad because it was our fault. So let's refund you not just what you paid, but the deposit too. I will turn that money back in and buy a car from them. This is Rivian is the brand.
Yeah.
Because of the way they treated me. And I think that's the point is, like, it doesn't – I get circumstances happen. We both had a circumstance happen.
Yeah.
But the way that they treated the situation – now, we won't buy it now. Maybe it's 6 months or a year, just timing-wise. But – they're going to make themselves a lifetime user
mm-hmm.
by just being kind.
Yep.
And honestly, you know what's fascinating is they offered to either refund the whole thing. And then she said, worst case scenario, if I can't do that, could I just refund the money, hold the deposit, you could use it toward the next one? Which, funny enough, I was like, yeah, because I'm still going to buy from you.
Sure.
And so, like, I love that they ended up with the best possible option, but they didn't even need to go that far. I would have been fine with the other one.
Yeah.
It would have been great. Like, no big deal. I would have been cool with that. So, you know, a really good service experience can really turn something around. And
yeah. It's
crazy. A good reminder for people.
And it's crazy to think that, like, we're talking about, I would expect bad customer service from, like, a Circle K buying a candy bar and a Gatorade.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But we're talking about spending $50,000, $60,000, $100,000.
Yeah, but they don't see it that way.
I know, but like that's the problem.
I know, but I'm going to give them a little bit of credit. I can't get it to a candy bar level, but the margins on a vehicle like that are what? Like, what do they make? $1,500, $2,000 every vehicle they sell?
But the salesperson doesn't know that.
I think they do. I think.
I mean, they.
Let me rephrase that. The organization, though, does.
Sure.
And so we see it, we as humans, it's like a house, right? When you build a house with one of these builders we built through Taylor Morrison, I thought they were incredibly unresponsive and unhelpful for a thing that was costing me hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. In context, though, they were making 20 grand.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the hard part, is like the cost of goods there is so high that I don't think they see you as a $50,000 customer. They see you as a $1,500 customer.
But they're trying to get you to spend $50,000.
I know. But I think that delta is where that service component shows up.
That's fair. And I get what you mean. That's fair. But like,
it sucks.
I know. Going back to Circle K, I've definitely gotten better service spending $5 at Circle K.
Again, I'm not comparing it to a candy bar.
Right, but you know what I mean.
The metaphor is probably closer to the Breville coffee maker you bought.
Or like, I mean, there's so many places that are low cost. Chick-fil-A, again, talking about Chick-fil-A. In-N-Out.
Got great service.
Right? You get great service. And like, I mean, I don't care what their profit margin is.
Tesla could choose to have great service.
They just need to just, yeah.
But
I'm not even asking for great service. I'm just asking for you to return my call.
But this is...
Or just send me an email or a text.
It's funny, I said this to someone the other day in a different context, but
bad.
People in life, at every job and every interaction, have incentives. And I think the most important thing we can do to understand why other people aren't doing things we expect them to do is to realize their incentives. If someone's meeting you, and their primary objective is to meet the most people in the room that day or to go back and tell their boss that they were nice to people, then you're not going to have a really great human interaction, right?
Sure.
Like, because their incentives are something different. And so the hard part is, and it's that old Maya Angelou quote, that the problem with the world is that we judge ourselves by our intentions and everyone else by their actions. Mm-hmm. Like, you look at it and say like, oh my God, your actions are bad. I'm not trying to amalgamize a company human, but like if the human anamorphous blob that is Tesla were to respond to you, they would say, yeah, we didn't have the car in stock. The incentive to help you was really low. You weren't worth any money to us until next month. Now that really feels crappy, but the reality of it is when you drive your business solely on that
and
think about what Elon celebrates.
And that's fair. I think I guess my expectation is just coming from sales. And I think you and I, throughout our whole careers in sales, we operated by a different philosophy.
We did.
And we worked commission sales.
And that's why we were friends. Like because we were the unicorns.
Every month, we knew our goal started over, right? But it was like just that concept of like, I didn't... Like, what I wanted wasn't like, why isn't my car ready today? What I wanted was, will my application still be good in a month and a half when it moved out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just let me know that. And they couldn't do that, right? And that's not a... Like, that basically, what you said is true.
Anything to them.
I know. And what you said was true. But, like, that's bad. And
it's bad, but it's...
And now...
The reality of things is when you wake up and realize that you're not worth anything to anybody anymore, and that's how you're going to be treated. And that's why, again, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, we should live our lives for our eulogy, not our resume, because what's on that resume or that 10K, sure, it's interesting to say... I'm a company that made $1 million this quarter, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But does that matter at the end of the day? Is that really ultimately the objective of any of this? Like, how we treat people and how we make people feel is always what's going to be most important. And sadly, you ran in a company where the person that runs it does not mind making people feel shitty if he feels like they're in the way of his profit. And you just got a firsthand taste of that. But... I'm really excited for you because fuck that company, fuck that guy, and welcome to the good side of the world.
Yeah.
Your moral conscience is officially cleaner.
I feel better already.
You should.
Skinny fries.